This is Intelligence Brief, a quick primer from the people who bring you security, Mom. And this is Juliette Kayyem, your host. On Monday, President Obama announced the Task Force on 21st Century Policing, a group that had been established to advise the president in the wake of the Ferguson riots. So I've read the report now. It actually has three parts, so let me break them down for you rather quickly. The first is the one that's getting the most press, which is the prohibition of the use of federal funds to buy what we would view as military-grade weaponry, armored vehicles, high-caliber firearms and ammunition, camouflage uniforms. And this, people have to remember, sort of came as a surprise. President Obama had originally said what he wants is just recommendations of how this equipment can be used better. For example, only going to designated urban SWAT teams. But instead, the report came out and said no end at all. The second grouping is actually kind of interesting. It applies to different kind of weapons, things like drones, specialized firearms, battering rams, riot batons. And the president sort of agreed that in those instances, federal funds could be used to buy that stuff, but that the police department had to get political oversight, had to sort of make a justification to the mayor or the city councilor in writing of why this gear was needed. So it's sort of putting a political overlay over what police departments were doing in a lot of these jurisdictions. And then there's like a third piece, which I call the feel-good stuff. I don't mean that as a criticism, but it's just sort of a reminder by the commission that really, you know, the best policing is community policing, and that we have to integrate our police departments better into their communities. And they actually offer a lot of money to help police departments do so. So those are sort of the three parts, but it doesn't answer questions sort of how does this all work? Where I know something about this. I'd been the Homeland Security Advisor from Massachusetts. I oversaw these federal funds and distributed them to police departments. Basically, the Homeland Security is a big check-writing agency. So is the Department of Defense. They write checks to states or local jurisdictions, and then those jurisdictions can buy gizmos, can buy gear, can buy even until a couple days ago, military-grade weaponry. Now, the Department of Homeland Security releases this money. It's billions of dollars to states and localities. The Department of Defense actually gives away a lot of their equipment. Ironically, this is a lot of equipment that they never wanted, but Congress sort of forced them to take it because Congress views the Pentagon as a sort of job-creating entity, and so every particular congressman wanted the Department of Defense to buy something from their jurisdiction. So it's really in some ways very nefarious and part of this, and you know, sort of security industrial complex that we all worry about. So do I think that these changes will work? Absolutely. And we will be safer for it. These changes, though, are not revolutionary. I mean, they're just actually not new. They reclaim the lessons of history we forgot after the terrorist attacks on 9/11. So a little history is in order here just to bring people up to speed. And it begins with World War II. Actually, you know, until World War II, America never really thought about homeland security. And of course, it was after Pearl Harbor when first responders had to contend with a new type of danger, which is sort of attacks on civilians, essentially. And it was then that New York City Mayor LaGuardia, very famous, wanted the federal government, and President Roosevelt was in charge at the time, to really adopt a war mentality for U.S. cities with sirens and neighborhood militias and concrete bunkers. And he viewed sort of the more community engagement efforts as what he called the sissy stuff. And in fact, the community relations efforts were being run by Eleanor Roosevelt, Franklin's wife. And so it was like this big sort of man versus woman, blue versus pink. And Franklin Roosevelt really had to sort of try to get them to come together. This was sort of the mentality for Homeland Security efforts until actually Richard Nixon, that this obsession with national security threats finally started to change, at least for the homeland. That change didn't come because the Cold War was over. It actually came because Hurricane Camille in 1969 and several other major natural disasters exposed how bad our civilian federal response was. And in reaction, Nixon authorized an important policy shift at that time. He allowed domestic security funds from the Department of Defense and other agencies that could be used to support local efforts for any threat. This new approach was called dual use and applied to planning, equipment, and the purchasing of that equipment. So look, dual use sort of makes sense if, you know, anyone who sort of runs a home, it has the benefits of being both efficient and effective. Like if you're a mom, you don't really care at that moment why your son's, you know, finger, I speak from experience, is bleeding. You just want to get the Band-Aid. So the Band-Aid could it doesn't matter why you're using the Band-Aid at the time. And the firefighter who shows up to a burning building does not wonder at that moment whether it's an arsonist or a careless cigarette smoker is to blame. They just want to put out the fire. The medics at the Boston Marathon finish line had no idea whether the carnage that they were encountering in those first minutes was from a terrorist attack or a gas explosion. They just implemented their well-honed dual-use plans for treating a sudden surge in injuries. So dual-use planning was consistent with reforms occurring in many urban police departments at the same time in the 1960s and 1970s, which were increasingly embracing community policing models, right? These models of sort of having police reach out to communities that they were overseeing or that they were protecting. And then 9/11 happened, and then we sort of forgot all these lessons that we had learned. And once again, we started thinking that community engagement strategies were sissy stuff, just to quote LaGuardia. And in that vacuum, enter Ferguson. The report is part of the right-sizing of our post-9/11 security apparatus. It is welcome, but it's just not that new. I mean, in some ways, it's just sort of going back to what we knew before. None of this is sissy stuff, trust me. These changes will discipline police departments to focus on the best policing tactics we have known for a long while, those that integrate and do not intimidate. Ferguson reminded this country the lessons we too easily forgot after the terrorist attacks on September 11th. This is Juliette Kayyem with Security Mom.